Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 22. There has been a lot of preparation right prior to recording this, and it also has been hampered by the fact that I am out of Wi-Fi currently.
Yeah, we're having that dilemma with the Wi-Fi being out. And I was just reading an article about how in America we pay more for our internet and get worse results than the rest of the world. That's really a bummer.
Somehow I'm not shocked.
Yeah, so
that seems to be the case for a lot of things.
Well, speaking of America, we'll get into a little bit of election coverage later. But
yes, one of the big prep moments beforehand was myself being fascinated by a gentleman figuring out, or at least coming to a very likely conclusion that his grandmother had been poisoning pretty much everyone in the family.
Yeah.
Except for herself, evidently.
Yeah, apparently not.
She must have either not eaten her own food, which it seemed like everything was laced in the food that she gave them.
Yeah, well, we should back up maybe a little bit and just say that this was an article, I think it was in Vice.
Yeah, it was on Vice.com.
about this guy kind of coming, I don't know, just coming clean with it, I guess, about his what he thinks his grandma was up to.
Yeah, he has no solid evidence, I guess, and that this was kind of a key point, and I just forgot about it because of just it seemed like this article was written by the guy himself, and he did not seem like a writer, so everything seemed a little disjointed to me. And he had mentioned that they sold the grandmother's house and it had been flattened before going into the fact that he thought that she was poisoning everyone with her food. So like I had kind of forgotten that they had demoed the house. So I mean that's part of the problem too, is that even if he wanted to look for evidence, it's not possible now.
Right. Then when you put it together that the house isn't there anymore, like there's no way to look into this.
Yeah. And the only other thing that he had mentioned too, which was kind of at the end of the article, was exhuming bodies is the only other way to.
Oh, because some of the people who had died, they could check their
tissue.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
But she's.
Because there were several people, I mean, a few of her boyfriends who had died after illness, after she was taking care of them.
Yeah, it seemed like people got really sick, and instead of, maybe beating the odds, and, when the doctor gives you 6 months, you always hear the positive story, hey, I got 6 years out of it, and I'm still going.
Right.
This was like that, this grandma was bringing the average down. Because a couple of the people in her charge had cancer.
Right. And that's the other thing. It's like they could have died under natural causes, you know. Ooh. But, you know, I guess the most damning evidence is, like, his reaction. And he said that there was times he could remember drinking, like, hot chocolate that was like really like watery and oily and like weird tasting,
and right, then
sleeping for 24 to 72 hours and like, yeah, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do that after not sleeping for 72 straight hours. I did not sleep that many hours then. Like, that would have been, if I had been out for that long, I would have been super suspicious of something going down, because it's just like, what the, and I to sleep for 3 entire days,
right,
that's just unthinkable to me. Like, you've just wasted 3 days. Like, grandma just wasted 3 days of your life.
Well, and I guess it sounded like he was living with her for certain periods of time. And it did sound like she was kind of whacked out in other ways, beyond just the poisoning.
He kind of alluded to that in the article, but he really didn't go into that too in depth. He had a couple of examples of her being maybe a little forthright, a little too outspoken in some ways.
Yeah, and she seemed to be really into like weird punishments, like for her youngest son, that she really seemed to like have it in for some reason. She threatened to burn his wee wee off in the fire.
Yeah, I wow, how did I forget about that?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she did threaten her own son with the burning of his penis on an open flame.
Right, and it's because not, yeah, there was a fire right there. So,
and what, she had held his hands to it or something like that previously.
I don't know. She like made him stand right in front of it or something like that, I guess.
Yeah,
which is odd. but yeah, she was seemingly, you know, and her oldest daughter, I think, died, and this youngest son ended up dying.
Right. Seriously. Because that one was a little more questionable, too, because, he was scuba diving, but he had had some of her food right beforehand.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And, you know, his tank malfunctioned, which he customized himself.
Yeah, that was the other weird detail.
Yeah. Because he was a genius. And I'm not completely sure if he was mocking in tone, or if he was serious, because
that's a good question. Yeah,
in some ways, like, he provided information to say, yeah, this guy was really smart, but then just kind of saying it that way makes me suspect that there might be a joke involved in there.
Right. It is kind of weird to rig your own.
Well, the guy that drowned, he was the one who his mother had threatened to burn his penis off. And so that's how they're connected.
It's
no, this was in real life.
This is a real story.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, a guy realized that his grandmother was poisoning everyone.
Basically.
In her family. Well, we just got the advice that we needed to stop watching the news from my lady who's going to bed there.
Yeah. I mean, you said you did like the article. To me, I thought it was pretty well written. It was interesting how, I guess it was, like you said, kind of disjointed, but I kind of felt like that was more, it's kind of a weird story to tell, right? It's like, how do you...
And that's why I wasn't really, like, it was fascinating, just because and that's the other thing, that it's just the amount of evidence in some ways. Like, it's not just, like, that it happened one time or to one person. Like, this happened to a large number of people. Like, everyone had similar symptoms.
Right, and other people would, like, kind of pass out after eating her food. And, like, at one point, now, here's where I have a problem. He said, at one point, like, the family would come over for holidays, and they would just, like, all bring their own food and their own, and not eat her food at all.
Right.
And she seemed relieved by this somehow. But so everybody, it seems like, was strongly suspicious that there was something funny with the food. Right?
This certainly wasn't something that... because the writer's mother was the first one to start refusing the food.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because she was the first one to be suspicious of it. And everyone just thought she was paranoid.
Right, and then everybody else kind of caught on over time.
Yeah, like, it took them several more years and more, you know. Because, I mean, they were just talking about just falling asleep on the couch.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess there is, like, the thing
consistently.
After you eat a turkey dinner and, you know, you get sleepy on the couch, that could happen to anybody.
Well, see, I even think the tryptophan thing is a little overrated.
No, but there is, like, a full stomach thing, I think. Like, when you're, you know, you got a lot of food in you and you're just, like, kind of sluggish. You don't feel like jumping around and, I don't know, it's easier to sleep for me.
Well, yeah, it might be easier, but I still don't think that, like, it's not like a sleeping pill. I'm not taking an Ambien or something like that.
No, that's true. I didn't want to oversell it there.
Yeah, I guess that's my only point, is that I do understand that there is the tryptophan in turkey that does indeed help you nap, but I think you need to eat more than...
It's not like you've just been snorting horse tranquilizers.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's turkey.
But hold on, we were talking about how everyone was suspicious of Grandma's food here.
Right, and he was, I don't know if it was horse tranquilizers, but
he had some laundry list of what he thought might be the ingredients that she used.
And he could see, like, he can remember seeing, like, crystals on top of some of the stuff that she made. And, like, some of the food she made was, like, really bizarre sounding. Like, weird, like, mutated-looking stuff. Does not sound... I mean, even if it wasn't poisoned, it doesn't sound like you would want to eat it, necessarily.
Well, and the other thing, and again, I guess I'm just connecting it now, is that he had mentioned all the burnt spoons that he found downstairs in Grandma's place when they were trying to clean it out.
Yeah, like, it was... people have been cooking heroin, yeah.
Yeah, well... After him telling this story, though, it's just like, maybe it wasn't anyone cooking heroin. Maybe it was Grandma coming up with whatever concoction she was coming up with.
And the spoons were literally being burnt by, like, the toxic nature of the poison that she was...
Well, she had to cook it, too. I mean, I'm not saying that she wasn't cooking it like heroin. I mean, that's where the burnt part would come in. Maybe she turned a solid into a liquid, and that's what the oily surface was on top of his hot chocolate.
Man, I think you need to, like, reach out to this author and give him this piece of evidence that he may not have been aware of, but you could be onto something there.
I mean, he doesn't really suppose anything in the article.
Right.
But, I mean, after reading it, you know, if your grandma seems to be poisoning you, like, there is a possibility that was not some heroin junkie that lived in Grandma's basement. I mean, maybe it is, and he just didn't go into that part of the story.
Yeah, he said something about she was hanging around weird people or something like that, but, yeah, you're right, it could be something different.
Right.
Now, I guess... You know, my question here is, like, do you think that the family should have done something more, like, if they really did think that that's what's going on? Because the part that was weird to me was when, like, a friend came along and, like, she ate the food and then ended up, like, passing out and missing, like, some...
Oh, it was she was trying out for something on Broadway or dancing or something like that. Like, she was a ballerina, maybe. It was something along those lines. Yeah, that's kind of fucked up that she missed that.
It sounded like an important thing that she missed because of, you know, being drugged.
I guess that's the other part where I guess I'm not quite sure in the time frame wise, like, when they figured or when that kind of situation happened.
Because I think she was the only one to eat the food, so they must have all figured out, is what I figured.
Well, there was that. I guess that instance, but everyone was already not planning on eating her food anyway.
Except for the friend who...
Well, except for the friend who was being nice.
Apparently was not clued in, yeah.
Yeah, and not clued in.
Well, to be fair, maybe they told her, but she just didn't... I don't know. What did they tell her, though? We didn't really get into that in the story.
Right, yeah. I mean, there are certainly some question marks. You would have, what I meant when I was going back to the time frame wise, though, is like, how old was she at that point when that kind of thing was happening? Like, when did his mom start refusing the food? Because it sounded like it wasn't until he was in his teens or something that he had started to refuse the food. So, I mean, I guess there were, like, levels of what people thought. Like, at what point, you know, when they were bringing all that food over, you know, how, time frame-wise, when was that? Like, I mean, if you're bringing all your food over because everyone's pretty much going, yeah, grandma's poisoning everyone. Yep. You know, that to me seems like when you go, oh, maybe we should... do something about this.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't seem to care.
Well, I guess it seems like it was the family was a little bit unusual all the way around.
Yeah, how can you not be when that that kind of thing is just happening and you don't think about it at all?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, right, because as of the story that he was writing it, she's 95 now. And, you know, it sounds like she's in pretty bad shape. Like, it wouldn't do anything to, you know, convict her at this juncture. But, yeah, I don't know what would have happened, like, or... I don't know if they would have saved anyone in time, you know? Like, it seems like the suspicions mostly happened after everyone had figured out that she was poisoning everyone.
Yeah, and...
You know, like, it was almost all of this stuff happened in hindsight to when all these accidents happened because there were just too many accidents happening around her.
Yeah. And I guess she, like I said, she did sound like she was kind of unstable, so maybe people didn't want to confront her about it or anything for fear of, you know, who knows what's happening. But it does seem odd that no one brought it up to her. Although I think when we were first talking, when I first you saw the article, you made some comment about, like, oh, I'm not surprised by this, you know, like something about it. And I think I felt that way too. Like, something about it seems like, okay, yeah, I could see a grandma poisoning her family.
Yeah, well, poisoning has been more of a method of women than men. Like, because I used to watch a lot of, like, true crime shows.
Uh-huh.
And that is certainly more of a womanly measure than a manly one. So... There is that aspect to it. And he did kind of talk about the Munchausen by proxy syndrome, possibly.
Yeah. To me, though, it almost seemed like she was... I mean, I guess that's part of what he was kind of concluding, too.
Right.
Is that they were that she was trying to, like, kind of keep them there or keep them under control, you know, in some way by... You know, causing them to pass out, you know, and basically have to, you know, be around her.
Yeah, it was, she was sometimes purposefully dosing you to try to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
At least in her judgment.
In her judgment, I suppose.
If it was trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Which, you know, it should be up to everybody's individual judgment, I think. You shouldn't be going around drugging people.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, I guess I'm just not really surprised. Like, there's just been so many crazy stories that, like, you really have to go over the top, I guess, at this point to really get a surprise out of me.
Yeah, it was really interesting about how he tied it into kind of the problems with abuse in the Catholic Church, you know, and people willing to kind of turn a blind eye and, you know, go along and pretend that nothing's happening, you know. There's something to that, I think. It's just a kind of a weird mentality that people get, I think, you know.
Yeah, they just don't want to turn in grandma.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it does sound kind of fucked up to turn in grandma. Like, no matter, like, what you say she did, you know, it's still just, that's got to be hard to get over.
Yeah, I would say so. Even if she's messed up, she's still your grandma.
Yeah, and plus, oh, and I forgot about that, because this is one important thing, is that he was old enough at one juncture in the story to tell a police officer that he thought that he should look into grandma. And the police officer just kind of blew him off, like, okay.
Say, well, what do you want me to do about it, basically?
Yeah.
It's like, damn. Like, really? We're talking about a murder. Like, the cops are supposed to, you know, be interested in that sort of thing. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, I would at least make you do an autopsy.
Maybe, yeah.
If someone says that, you know, maybe you just go, hey, maybe you want to, you know, just do a blood check on this one before you go start draining it out here.
Yeah, it seemed like the guy might have, you know, the one of her boyfriends may have been a undesirable sort of character, like not an upstanding member of the community that the police were necessarily gave a shit about, apparently.
Yeah, there is that aspect too. Some of the people, well, yeah, I mean, we already mentioned a couple of them were already sick, so it wasn't completely suspicious.
Yeah,
and questionable characters.
Yeah, and her. Yeah, it could have been, and it could have been like accidental poisoning in the case of like her oldest daughter, maybe, because she almost, like they said, the author said he had to go to the hospital sometimes in the middle of the night because he couldn't breathe. Like, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna guess that grandma wasn't figuring out the correct dosage and like putting it in there with like a proper needle or something. I'm going to guess she was just kind of, you know, pouring winging an appropriate it. Amount and winging it a bit. So there might have been a little bit of a change in level of spiking from time to time.
Yeah. Ugh, that's pretty messed up. But, yeah, I think we'll link to the article. Well,
yeah, we definitely going to link to that one. It was on vice.com again, but, I guess you did talk a little bit, you segued a little bit into the political topic when we started there.
Yeah, we just had an election yesterday.
Yep, and we are here to talk about one issue only.
Rand Paul.
Yes, yes, Rand Paul. You know the show so well, Ken. Well, it was on the ballot in Alaska, Oregon, Florida, and the District of Columbia.
Oh yeah, I did see something about that. So that was the
yes,
marijuana ballot measures.
Yes, they were all slightly different in the measures. Some of them I did notice that the reading, what one? Oh, Florida was the one place that the measure did not pass.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they were trying to get a medical marijuana set up for Florida, but that did not pass. And it was interesting because they actually had a higher percentage of voters there than in Oregon. But it passed in Oregon, 'cause they had 57 and a half or 57.4% of the vote in Florida. But because it's a constitutional amendment, it needed to be 60% of the electorate.
Interesting.
But in Oregon, it only needed to be 50%.
Okay.
So, but they had like 54% of the vote, I believe. So, I mean, it passed, you know, pretty handily.
Why would it have to be an amendment, though? I don't. That seems strange.
Well, it was just the way Florida had it set up. I can't remember all the details, but
yeah,
there was a clear difference in how you needed to vote for some of the measures, which did make a difference.
Yeah, that's interesting because overall across the nation, it was a good election for the Republicans running against President Obama, who is everyone's pretty much sick of, I guess, at this point, you could say.
Yeah.
So he's a good target for if you're running for office. Yeah, they were not happy, or they voted in Republicans, but at the same time, all these kind of more liberal ballot measures passed.
Yeah, there was a little bit of irony there because I this wasn't the only one. I'm trying to think. I think there was some wage.
Oh yeah, minimum wage increases.
Increases in a couple places, but yeah, I guess I didn't really check all of those to know the details here.
Yeah, I mean, this I guess ties in, you know, this story ties into a previous OPA episode.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out which episode that one was on.
I want to say that was episode 13, True Believers. we may have to fact check that one, but yeah.
Yeah, we definitely will when I get better use of the internet back. I only have to go 4G now. I'm back in the Stone Age.
Yeah, this is unacceptable.
Unacceptable. My data plan's going to blow up with Verizon now. I can't do it.
Not you're not on the unlimited there with Verizon?
No, not on the unlimited.
See? You're screwed now.
Yep. I had to, when I changed phones, I had to go they did not leave me a choice.
Yeah.
I either had to keep a non-functioning phone or
with unlimited data.
With unlimited data.
You're forgetting that part.
Or get a functioning phone. I opted for getting a functioning phone.
Well, yeah. You made a very foolish choice, but...
maybe it was.
Even if your phone doesn't work, you stick to that unlimited data, and then you never... Anyway, we'll get into this later, but... that's off topic.
Yeah.
We were...
Yeah, pot talk. Get back to the pot talk, Ken.
That's right.
Come on here.
So, they...
Yeah, it passed. Well, Alaska...
I remember what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Going back to our previous episode, for lack of a better name, because I can't remember her name, the former news anchor from Alaska turned medical marijuana proprietor, we'll just call her the fuck it, I quit girl lady.
Sure, that works. You can use that as an excuse. You know, we don't have the internet here right now, so...
Right, we're literally living in the Stone Age.
Yeah, we only have a recording device on a computer. It's yeah. Really rough. And we can only watch DVR'd material at the current moment.
That's right.
Stone Age stuff.
You can't record new material. You have to only watch what you already have on your DVR. Oh, I mean, I'm just, shivering at what we're going through right now, but we're still bringing you this podcast, people, you know.
We deliver for you, despite all of our struggles.
Yeah.
Our first world struggles.
Yeah, exactly. We're making it happen, regardless. so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, she obviously did not hurt the campaign by... going off of off air that way and maybe working what the old people might have said, working blue on the program there.
Yeah, she was working blue for sure. more blue than they're used to, I think, on the local news. yeah, I mean, it seems like that is kind of the way things are going. Like we saw gambling kind of spread out that way.
Gambling actually is the point where I forget that we have a casino on the west side of town.
Right. Yeah, me too. Like, I don't really, I'm not into it, but
yeah,
it is there, you know.
It's there. I don't need to go to Vegas or, you know, any of that stuff in particular.
Right, but you know, and in Pennsylvania, they've got them too now.
Oh, well, yeah, it's half of the reason the Penguins still are in Pittsburgh. So, yeah.
Slot machines?
Yeah, yeah. Part of the slot machines got dedicated to help repay the debt that the Penguins owed.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. They had some land development deal. Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, it was years ago that happened because... Wow, yeah. Okay, it was a while ago, so I definitely don't remember the exact details of that one.
But much like that... situation with the gambling coming in, we have marijuana even in the capital, the nation's capital, Washington D.C. They're
I think that was kind of the fascinating thing to me, is that all of them kind of were different situations.
Yes, they weren't all the same thing. Like,
right, Alaska is going to be more like Colorado,
where they're just going to have like they're going to straight up have pot shops that you don't need a prescription to go in.
Right.
You can just buy it like it was, you know, liquor.
Yep, you got to be over 21. It doesn't take effect until next year. So Alaska's one. And D.C. is just another one because even though they have a mayor, they've still got to run things through Congress.
Oh, yeah. So they have to, actually, the House of Representatives, I think, has to vote or something like that?
Correct.
That's pretty messed up.
And they
don't actually get a voting member of the House of Representatives.
Correct.
That's...
Yeah, they don't have anyone in particular that is directly of the for their benefit, even though they're voting on everything that happens in that little jurisdiction.
Pretty lame.
Yeah, so...
Thanks a lot, Obama.
So that certainly was another kind of interesting part about all of them, is that, you know, there was definitely something different involved in all of them. But, and I think it was more just the medical there at, in D.C.
Well, in D.C., it's not, there's no medical or anything. Like, you have to grow it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Or you can give it to someone else. Like, if you grow more than you need, you can give it to someone else. But then it's like, how do you regulate that? Like, oh, yeah, I'm just giving it to my friend here. And,
yeah, there is definitely some hurdles to be covered, and Colorado certainly will have a leg up on everyone.
I was reading an article, though, that was kind of taken, I guess, like a potential pitfall of all this is the what they called the I don't remember what they called it now. But it was basically like, you know, big marijuana, if you will, like as opposed to like big oil or big tobacco, you know, big alcohol, like would kind of come into some of these places and then just like, you know, basically like encourage people to be irresponsible or, you know.
Well, yeah, that was the interesting thing. At least the Vox.com column at least had information about the opposition. And that was certainly one of the common themes in all of the defenses everywhere, is that they were worried about younger users, and they were worried about it still overly affecting the poor.
Right. And when you look at who is being, you know, prosecuted and put in jail for this kind of stuff, it is, you know, the poor people. It is typically minorities. So it's not being, you know, whether people are intentionally being racist or not, it is, if you look at the effects of the law targeting these people. So it's like, why, you know, this doesn't really make a lot of sense to keep it around, I guess, is what we're trying to say here. Like, keeping these laws around that, you know, are making this, are making it illegal, and like people are going to go to jail or have to pay fines. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Well, and that's it. I was a little surprised when I saw a couple of the articles, because I didn't realize that it had been decriminalized in Ohio, which they said no jail time, but certainly if you are carrying large enough quantities, still you are going to get jail time in Ohio.
Yeah, and
it's mostly is treated as like a ticket would be for speeding or jaywalking or something of the sort.
Yeah, I think it's like $150 fine. That's what I was looking at.
Right.
So that's basically a speeding ticket, you know.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that, so I did find that interesting. It definitely wasn't a measure here. I don't know if there will be that measure anytime soon here. That should be something that maybe we could research for a newer episode of a future date episode of OPA.
Yeah, you think that somebody would try one eventually in Ohio. Or Pennsylvania, for that matter.
Yeah, they're both states that are...
both states. Sorry. You weren't finished.
Go yeah, I was not finished, smartass. That tend to be what the kids now are calling purple. So they can be red and or blue. So there certainly is a chance that that kind of ballot would come up in either state.
Right. And they did eventually do gambling in Ohio, as we mentioned, and Pennsylvania.
And more states are, just passing the pot, and the more that if it helps anyone's sales, everyone, seems to, flock to it. 'Cause that was the other thing that, I was a little surprised about. It was the prices per ounce that they were taxing it, because I think it was 50 cents or $50 an ounce.
Oh, that's the tax?
Yeah, let me see what that was there in Alaska.
That's pretty hefty.
Yeah. Yeah, $50 per ounce, and it was, I'm pretty sure that it's 35 in, yeah, and it's 35 in Oregon.
So they're seen that they were making more revenue than they thought they would in Colorado.
Yes, yeah, they are.
So I think that's going to be attractive to other states. You know, why not get in on that and, you know, stop funding all these criminal organizations and you know, fund some schools or something like that. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that the pot money could lead to funding schools, which you know, everyone's going to suggest that the kids are all on the pot when they go into the better schools.
But the joke's on them, because even if they're spending their money on pot, it's going to end up going to help the schools, and by gosh, we're going to get to those kids and teach them right.
Well, and it didn't seem like it would particularly be legal for anyone of high school age to get it, though, in any of these places.
That's true.
21 seemed like the common theme, you know, the drinking age and also the smoking pot age.
Yeah.
Although I would imagine it's going to end up being like, you know, I did with my older brother. Hey, wink, wink, nod, nod. Can you get me some beer?
Right. I think
everyone has an older brother, or everyone needs an older brother.
Well, it's...
I know you didn't have one, Ken. You are the older brother.
That's true. But if you, you know, if you could imagine, Kevin, I think that there are even now underage kids out there smoking pot without it being legalized. So it seems like that would not be such a strange thing to happen, I guess.
Yeah, it would not be strange at all. Oh, man. Well, we go from kid talk to old talk, I would say. Because there was a little article. Oh, no. I wanted to go with the video, actually, first.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
We're making a science segue.
So I'll go from a regular kid to Kid Icarus then.
Okay, the feathers. Okay,
with the feathers.
The bowling ball. Icarus was a big bowler. We all know.
Yes,
this is known. Yes.
Who didn't know that Kid Icarus was a fantastic bowler?
Right. He got 300 game. I mean,
he was Pete Weber before there was a Pete Weber.
Everybody knows this. I don't know why we have to get into it here now.
Yeah, but I'm going to throw down the bowling legends. I'm trying to think of a second one now, but I'm not having any luck.
Bill Murray's character from Kingpin.
Oh, come
wait,
on.
Wait, the judges are telling me that that's not a real bowler. Okay, sorry. That was a movie.
Yes. Well, there is a, to get to the a point, I guess, here, is that Ken showed me a video.
Yes.
That there is a laboratory, I guess.
In Cleveland, Ohio. So that there actually is an OPA angle to this that I hadn't even realized at first.
Yeah, that did catch you by surprise when you popped it on. So, this guy was testing, it was Galileo's theory.
Yeah, well, we should say that there's something special about this laboratory in Cleveland.
Yes, they can reproduce space, like outer space conditions.
So, yeah, they can.
Zero gravity.
Well, not zero gravity, but zero, air, basically.
Yeah, zero air.
Yeah, they can create almost a vacuum, because I think they said I forget how many pounds of air they said they can pump out of that room, because it's like a pretty big, I mean, it's a big room.
It's a huge chamber.
Yeah.
So it's
good point. It is a chamber.
Yeah. And because they use it to test parts for spaceships.
Right. That's what they built it for.
Yeah, that's what they had built it for. So, and this guy just did a simple experiment in it. But the simple experiment was to test gravity.
Right. So the idea that all objects are going to fall at the same speed, like,
yeah, regardless of their, yeah, in a vacuum, regardless of their weight, they all fall at the same speed.
In our experience, we see lighter objects typically are affected by wind resistance a lot more, so they fall, you know, they might, like a feather, but it's going to fall a lot slower than, say, a bowling ball, Kevin.
Right, and though you've probably seen this experiment on a smaller scale, and I feel like I've seen it in a smaller scale.
And I believe that the astronauts on the moon actually did this experiment as well. With some kind of like rock and feather situation.
Gotcha.
But this was still pretty cool to see, and like you say, like they fell for, I'd say, 20 feet or something like that.
It's something in that range. I didn't remember them giving a number for how big the chamber was, but they did. You know, they dropped a bowling ball and four feathers,
just like these old fashioned quill feather looking things, like really feathery. Yeah.
And they did it just in regular conditions, just to kind of show you what happened. And naturally, all the feathers kind of go everywhere, and the bowling ball just crushes this pad that is down at the bottom to kind of...
strategically placed to...
to stop the fall there.
I guess they didn't want the bowling ball bouncing around in this science lab for for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason, they didn't want to completely fuck it up because of a bowling ball.
So they made a little crash pad for the bowling ball to land on.
Yeah, and one of the things that was interesting, so they did it in regular conditions, and then they did it in the near zero air conditions.
Right. So I said that there might be a couple grams of air in this whole huge chamber, they said.
Right. And they did the same exact thing where they dropped the bowling ball in the four feathers, and they come down at the same exact rate of speed. Like,
yeah.
They are necking neck with each other down to the podium.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have necks, but if they did, they would be.
Yes, it's Ken. It's a euphemism. You don't need to call every one of them out.
Well, I guess not.
That is a very common one.
I think it was more that you said necking necks.
I said necking necks?
Yeah, for some reason, that's what came out. But
I thought I said neck and neck.
I think that was your intention.
Or neck and neck.
That was your intention, but I heard necking necks, and it really threw me for a loop. But I'm sure our listeners were similarly thrown, and I just wanted to address it to kind of clear the air, just so we can move on. Clean slate, and we're not going to talk about it again.
Yep, so the feathers and the bowling ball hit the crash pad at the same time.
Yeah, and it was kind of weird. I mean, it sounds simple to describe it, but then to actually see it, it just looks like they do it in slow motion and like real zoomed in.
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting that even the scientists that were there were pretty fascinated by it.
Yeah.
That part I found interesting. So, I mean, it was just kind of cool to see, kind of in that kind of a scale. Plus, I guess I hadn't thought about it before, but I was really interested that all the feathers, they were in like a pattern up top, like kind of a fanned out half circle pattern.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting that they stayed. You know, in the regular experiment, they're kind of going every which way and they all land in different locations.
Right.
In this one, they all stay in the same exact shape that they were in when they were dropped until they, hit the ground and just kind of tilt down.
Yeah, they definitely stay in formation on the way down. I mean, they just look the same way as the bowling ball does. Like, it's just falling at the same speed.
Yeah, and maybe that was the other part of it, is that when you see the vacuum ones, they're only doing it in like a little tube or something like that.
Right.
To see it doing 20 foot of this slow drop and just see the bowling ball beside these feathers for that length of space,
it just looks crazy.
Yeah, it's just such a more grand thing to see. It was just really cool.
And you don't normally see feathers bounce when they hit the ground. That part was kind of weird for me. when the feathers come down and they like spring back and land, you know, because they fell down a lot faster than you're used to seeing feathers fall. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We're going to put a link to that and probably even an embed in our
Oh shit, we don't have the internet for you to show me how to do that again.
Yeah. Maybe not. We'll I'll send a link to you at least.
Right. Well, and I tried to segue into this one earlier, and I just think
Science segue.
Yeah. Because we were trying to group the science-y things here together, and we have a couple of minutes to fill. So there's a little anti-aging drug that is being worked on currently.
Right. And I think this, what they were talking about was done with mice, right?
It has been done with mice, and they have started to do very small sample sizes of humans.
Okay.
The results currently are promising. They didn't say, you know, that something was just around the bend or anything of that sort.
Right. But basically what they were saying they could do is to turn off the quote-unquote old gene in these mice to make them more youthful, which is kind of a Fountain of Youthy sort of sounding, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds completely wild to just be able to shut things off inside of your body that that make this whole aging thing happen. Because that does get into that weird...
It does make sense, though, because like, your body is always... Like, you're eating food. Like, you're always making new cells. Like, why... You're replacing old cells that die off. Like, why couldn't this process continue
for a longer period of time?
Yeah. It does seem that, like, our bodies kind of send a shutdown signal at some point. And we kind of like, hey, we're going to reference another past episode here. when we were talking about the octopuses, or octopi.
Octopi. Oh, shit. It's all plural.
Right. We were talking about the octopi and how they die shortly after mating and producing offspring. And they find that it's probably related to this gland that they have near their eye that they can take off and then... they end up living longer after they've mated.
Oh, right.
So it's like there is this, you know, kind of shutdown mechanism out there. And if scientists are able to sort of, you know, flip that switch, you know, it could be possible to, you know, be biologically immortal to...
Yeah, well, and that would be kind of the interesting part to me is that, you know, do you end up going all vampire where it's just a really, really slow aging process?
Yeah.
You know, do you stay healthy that whole time?
Well, that's interesting. You think vampires age slowly?
Well, it kind of depends which vampire thing you're... but I do feel like they have old vampires and young vampires and almost everything. Yeah. So there's some... the old ones and some of them are like 800 years old, but that still ends up telling you that you have some type of immortality, you know,
because it's shown to be like gray haired or whatever. Is that what you're saying? I think,
some of them are shown just completely decrepit.
Yeah.
And, they end up inevitably in, almost, all of them, inevitably in almost all of them. Jesus Christ. But anyway, they show like a youthful them at some point. Like I can remember, because what's the ones with, what's her name? Kate Beckinsale.
Twilight?
Jesus, really? Not Twilight. It's
Underworld?
Underworld.
Okay.
You know, they show like younger versions of the older vampires, so there's definitely some aging involved in there. But again, like it's over hundreds of years, not like it's more like an elfish elves never die in Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. But they do get older, actually.
Yeah, they do get older.
Because old Cerdan the Shipwright, am I saying that right?
I don't remember what the shipwright's name was.
He had a long gray beard because he was like the oldest elf in the world or something. And elves normally didn't have beards even.
Oh, yeah. I did forget about that little part too.
So, yeah, there's some...
Well, I guess I always think back then to Dragonlance where, again, like the elves were hundreds. If not, maybe thousands, in some cases, years old.
Right.
Before they die. But I mean, there, you know, again, there's still a limit. Like, even if you live 1500 years, which would be fucking crazy, like, what kind of, advances in science are you gonna end up seeing at that point?
I bet you would still say, like, oh, 1500 years, it just goes so fast.
Well, I feel like people say that too often anyway, because I just get pissed when it's just like, man, this year's flown by. I'm like, yeah, it's 365 days, just like every other fucking year. Or if it's a, you know, leap year, I guess it has 366 days.
I think it's technically 365 and a quarter days if you're going with a solar year, but, you know.
You are correct.
It depends on how you want to define things. You know, I'm pretty sure there's a lunar year.
Right.
You could just do it based on the revolutions of, you know, the rotations of the Earth, I should say, around its axis.
Wow. We would be at a lot higher number than we are right now. A lot higher number.
Well, no, I mean, you could ignore the revolution, although that would be pretty lame because you'd ignore the seasons. All right, never mind. We're not going to do that.
You know, I guess that's kind of the next part. Like, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if it would actually regenerate, like just shutting the things off.
Wait a second. Now you were talking about us being vampires. I wanted to ask you, like, do you mean we're actually going to have to like suck people's blood to stay alive, or just?
No, I was trying to use them as an example for living a long time.
Okay.
But generally still, again, just to kind of go back to my point that I've been harping on, which is they still even have some type of a point of death, at least in most mythologies, even if it's a thousand plus years old. Like, it's still, again, it's still death.
Right. I mean, you would still be able to die through accidental causes or diseases, you know, I guess.
Well, yeah, or someone chopping off your head or shoving a silver spike through your chest.
Yeah, these are traditional methods that would work fine. Enough paper cuts would do the job.
That would be a lot of paper cuts.
So it's not like, yeah, you wouldn't necessarily have to be banished with holy water and a mouthful of communion wafers. as some of the vampires of old were supposed to have been. But yeah, no, it would be strange. I mean, you'd have to worry about overpopulation, I think, because if people are going to live forever and continue having kids, like if the Duggars can still exist and have, well, they've had 20 kids, I think, in their lifetime.
21, I think.
So if they can live for 1,500 years, how many kids are they going to have? And then how many kids are those kids going to have? It could get a little out of hand.
That is an interesting aspect of all of that, is what ends up happening in that situation. I've got at least a half-decent feeling that... I might come in on the tail end of that situation.
You'll be like the last generation to not be able to live forever.
Yeah, like we're just,
or we'll be able to live forever, but we'll still be like 80 years old. It'll be like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah, like the well, and again, like that, to me, that's one of the interesting things is, can you reverse it?
Oh yeah, well.
You know, because that's something that, again, it's very early in this study. So, I mean, it's all kind of speculation.
Well, that brings us to like a whole, I think it's the ship of Theseus problem. Like, if you replace all the parts of your body, are you really the same person still? Like, if you have to regenerate everything, are you somebody different at that point?
Oh,
that might be a whole new episode, but, you know.
Wow. I'm not even ready to think about that one. So, yeah. Since I'm not ready to think about that, grandkids, you know what I am going to think about? I'm going to think about pimping Treg's Java Head. Ken did not know that I've finally gotten into coffee through beer.
But not coffee though, right?
But I still do not drink coffee by itself.
But you'll drink it with beer, as a part of beer, I guess.
Yeah, I will drink it as a part of beer. I am perfectly happy to do that.
Well,
So,
and this is a pretty fine way to do it, I gotta say.
Yeah, it has a really smooth taste. It isn't overly coffee-y to me.
You're right. There is a little bit of coffee going on, but it's like a milk situation as well, I think.
Oh, okay. They have a little bit of milk.
I thought it was. It's a stout anyway.
Yeah, if they threw a little milk in there, I wouldn't be offended. I didn't think it was too sweet, but it certainly had a nice smooth consistency going down.
It's kind of a latte beer, if you will.
If you like mocha lattes, you will like this beer.
And I like the label. That's like a skull made out of coffee and bubbles, it looks like.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool little cover. So that is the Sippy Time Beer of the Week. And yeah, I guess I'll let you send us out.
All right, man. It's been another great episode. We did it.
We're 22. Double deuces.
Yeah, I forget what our poll question was, but I think it was something to do with, are you the same person? Oh, yeah. If you have all your cells in your body regenerated, are you still the same person, or are you somebody new at that point? Just get in there and let us know. And have a great week.